Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Mental health in the Black community is so stigmatized. People are more afraid of being labeled crazy than actually living with a mental illness. Like, it's so ironic that people will read every single self-help book there is instead of just going to therapy. Mental health is real, people, and we all have problems. So why not be the best version of you? And if that includes therapy, what's the worst that could happen? Hey everyone, it is therapist KP, aka Kiwasha Naomi, and once again, thank you for joining and for listening. I'm sure this week's topic is probably going to be one of the most popular ones because y'all little nasties out there. We're going to be talking about sex. Let's talk about sex, baby, but in a clinical way, to a degree. I'm sure we're going to have a really good time, and I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of emails asking Ms. Burrows to come back. So today my guest is Deshelle Burrows. Her name sounds sexy, don't it? So just a little bit, something like that. Yes. So we have Ms. Deshelle Burrows here with us, and I'm gonna let her do her little spiel. You can do all your little shameless plugs and your social media plugs. So go ahead. Who are you, man?
I am a licensed associate professional counselor. I am in private practice as in Fayetteville, Georgia, at Behavioral Health Associates of Georgia, LLC. I am also, I specialize in sex therapy, sexual traumas, women transitioning as far as in transition in their lifestyles, in transition with, in moving to the next chapter of their happiness, women moving in and out of relationships, relationship trauma. I specialize in postpartum as well, and helping women transition into that new phase as well.
Okay. Any social media handles you want anybody to follow?
Yes, they can follow me on Facebook at Deshelle Burrows, APCNCC. My name is spelled D as in Delta, E, capital S-H-E-L-L-E, Burrows, B as in Baker, U-R-R-O-W-E-S, and that's A-P-C-N-C-C right behind it, as well as my Instagram is at Sex Mommy Wellness.
Ooh, y'all heard it. Sure y'all remember the Instagram one because I can see it, y'all out
there. Sex Mommy Wellness.
All right. So we're going to jump right into the fun stuff. What's a sex therapist?
A sex therapist is a therapist that is able to help you with the relationships as far as making you comfortable with your sex life. We help with whatever problem you may have sexually, or if you're non-sexual but want to be sexual, we help you kind of get comfortable with yourself and your sex life. We help you ease you through any issues you may have versus intimacy versus just scared of the relationship game and intimacy. So we want to help you with that.
Okay. So what is a common theme that you find in general, whether it be research or for you personally, you know, with clients, what type of issues do you see coming in?
I see a lot of issues with couples disconnecting.
Okay.
Say it could be they've been married for quite a while or dating for quite a while, and now maybe there's been a change. Your goals aren't the same as they were 20 years ago as what they are, you know, as you're maybe in your 30s or 40s. So we deal with a lot with the disconnect that comes, especially once you start having children. You know, sometimes the woman's level may not be, her libido may not be as expressive as her husband because she may be overwhelmed with home life or work life, plus mommyhood, plus parenting. And then you want me to have a negligee on and go to bed and all that good stuff. So we're tired.
Okay.
So I deal a lot with trying to get us back on the road and realigned as far as relationships are concerned.
Okay. Do you find that it's more of an issue with the husbands or the male partner being dissatisfied with the female partner?
No. It could be both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It could be both. It just depends on what's going on with their relationship. A male could be just as stressed at his job, just as stressed as his role of responsibility in his own household. And that affects his sex life as well.
Okay. Okay. So do you also deal with couples of non-heteronormative sexual orientation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Because the same things could be happening, especially your relationship is still, it may not be the same as the day you met than what it is once you get into that relationship 10 or 20 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So we're going to get into a little bit of a deeper things that can make things a little, I know we do our recordings on Sunday, so I'm talking about something a little, you know, taboo.
All right,
so, of course, you know, in the Black community, we are very religious oriented or spiritually oriented. And, of course, the church talks about, and this I find personally, I'm not a certified sex therapist or I don't I wouldn't say that I specialize in that, but I do treat couples. And you find a lot of couples that are dealing with, and I've even read an article about it recently, where they will, because of church, they've demonized, unfortunately, the Black church. I go to a Black church. Mm-hmm. My church doesn't necessarily do it, but they demonize sex, mm-hmm. right? They demonize sex until marriage, and then they're confused when people get married, and they're not happy with mm-hmm. their sex life,
absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I know that you mentioned that you talk about getting comfortable with it. So have you found, I don't know what your population is, but how would you treat someone who is coming from a religious background? It doesn't necessarily have to be a Christian background, mm-hmm. but it could be whatever the religion is, having issues with their sexuality or accepting that, you know, I'm a sexual creature, being mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that? That sex is not just for making babies. It's because I want to have sex.
Absolutely. Want satisfaction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you would start off with, for me, I start out with what's triggering these thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the background in their religion, in their thought process? Even if it's not religion, it's still thought-based. So where do these thoughts come from? Then we start breaking down the barriers as far as how do we change that? How do we do a cognitive refocusing on what that relation, what that looks like, that sex life for them looks like? What are they doing already? What is their history? So I break down, we start with there, and then we transition into are we comfortable with our own bodies? Because for some, they're not even comfortable with their own bodies, mm-hmm. let alone trying to give their body to someone else.
Yeah.
So we start off with, let's talk about what your body does and get you, reintroduce you to your own body more than it's just here to urinate and defecate.
Okay.
You know, let's get to all the nuts and bolts of what your body can do and how fabulous it is.
Okay. So does that lead into a little bit of a self-pleasure,
absolutely.
AKA masturbation?
Absolutely. You definitely, because you can't expect you to go in. And if you're going to be that person that's in the church that says, I'm just going to wait till marriage, you cannot be wait till marriage, but you not know how to satisfy yourself. You not know what it takes for you to be satisfied because your husband's not going to know. He hasn't lived in your body X number of years. He has no idea. So without you knowing what's going to satisfy you, what's going to please you, he has no way of knowing how to please you.
Okay. So what about porn? So of course, porn mm-hmm. Is a big thing. Do you think that, so I think they, I can't remember if it is in the DSM. So sex addiction is a thing. So let mm-hmm. me just put that out there. You can be addicted to anything. And if, for those of you who've been listening for a while, we did a whole podcast on addiction and we acknowledge that you mm-hmm. can literally be addicted to anything. So with sex addiction, people who are addicted to sex are doing reckless sex. And by reckless sex, they're having one night stands mm-hmm. without condoms mm-hmm. with strangers, just mm-hmm. complete, just out there. All right, mm-hmm. you it. Mm-hmm. Right. And they're not using condoms.
Right.
If they're masturbating, they will masturbate to the point where they're like removing skin mm-hmm. type thing. And they're still doing it because absolutely. That is part of the addiction. So mm-hmm. sex addiction is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So absolutely. We're going to put that out there. But before we even get to that, how exactly do we go about being comfortable with ourselves? You keep mentioning. All right. Masturbation for men is common,
mm-hmm.
right? It's
yes.
It's generally accepted mm-hmm. that men masturbate and that men watch porn, mm-hmm. right? Whether they want to admit it. Most men, I think, are like, yeah, of course I've done it. Of mm-hmm. course, you know, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, this is what happens.
Absolutely.
But for women mm-hmm. to say, yeah, I gotta.
Okay, but women are doing it.
Exactly.
However, they just not going to tell everybody that they're going to do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
That's it. they're still pleasing themselves. When I've gone to plenty of those parties.
Pleasure parties.
The pleasure parties. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I ain't in there by myself. You know, I may sneak off to the room and purchase by myself. But I'm not in that room. And they showing out and they're doing all kinds of, you know, they're jumping on each other and, you know, displaying all these things. They're doing it.
Okay.
Their brown bags are bigger than mine when they leave out of there. So we are pleasuring ourselves, especially now, more now, mm-hmm. With the generation, you know, maybe I'll say 50 plus, 50 down, you know, to the 20-year-old and maybe 18 and into teenage years. We're pleasuring ourselves more. Women realize we deserve to have that pleasure now. There was a time when it was all about pleasing your man and mm-hmm. you stay with your man until, but now women are realizing, no, I deserve to have that orgasm. Mm-hmm. You know, shit, I worked hard. So today, you know, doing whatever it is I do in my job. So why should I not come home and have that release?
Okay.
And how beneficial that release is as far as mood stabilization, as far as decreasing anxiety, lowering depression, all of that helps with just a simple release.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. is very, very true. And it's interesting that you mentioned the age range, because mm-hmm. I always think about the fact of flower children.
Mm-hmm.
How old are flower children now? Flower children are
60 something.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very interesting how a lot of those women and men like to demonize
Absolutely
sex. And
do.
It's just like, y'all were having sex with everybody
mm-hmm.
and taking drugs mm-hmm. and doing all these different
all
things
of good stuff.
Because mm-hmm. that's what you kind of did. You had the I think, what were they called? Key parties. Mm-hmm. Right. So you would go to somebody's house. You would drop your key off at
mm-hmm.
the door.
Mm-hmm. I've heard
and
those.
We just have a good old time
mm-hmm.
with everybody. And
mm-hmm.
it wasn't even just heterosexual, as
no.
I say. It was
no.
everybody
it was everybody.
Was
yes.
doing whatever.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so now I think it's
you
interesting.
Older.
You got older. And so there's this demonization
mm-hmm.
About having
mm-hmm.
sex.
Mm-hmm.
So before we even get even further in that, let's go back to this whole consent, because we can't talk about sexuality without consent, because that's a really
Absolutely.
big argument now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your stance on consent? Because people are like, oh, no means no. It's just like, all right, so how does that work?
I do believe that no means no. Me coming from, I worked at a sexual assault center
mm-hmm.
for a number of years. And I had those young women and men that came in there that were taken advantage of. And they, even though they said no, they still found themselves in situations where they were sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
But I still believe that no means no. But I do also believe that you should be very careful with the choices that you make. You cannot, I was taught that when you put your drink down and you go to the bathroom, if your friends and whoever are not there with you, you don't pick that drink back up.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not being taught to people now these days. So you never know what's going to be in your drink. I've met so many different men and women that they were in situations simply because they didn't know any better,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they were with friends and friends, you know, watched them go down this rabbit hole and did not stop them and help them because they were too inebriated to stop themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to, you know, have someone with you. If you're going to party hard, but make sure you're partying responsibly. And if you have to have backup, you better have that backup with you. If you know you're going to go over that edge and fall over that cliff into that penis, you know, because it's easy to land on the penis when you're inebriated.
It is.
You know, it's easy to slide on in there. But you need to make sure you're making responsible choices as you do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
Now,
but
here's another question for you, which I find interesting, because I actually had this big debate, and I'm going to try not to get too passionate about it because it burns my soul.
Go ahead.
Can a wife or a husband rape their spouse?
Yes. I think they can. If you say no. No still means no. You
okay.
know, it's not that mm-hmm. you change your mind it's not that you change your mind because you're married, then he has that right. No, we don't have that right. You don't have that right to just take it. If she's saying no, then no means no. What
okay.
are your thoughts on that?
Oh, that is definitely my stance. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you get married, you don't own the person
That's
now.
It. That's it.
It's still that individual's lot. But here's
but
the
it's
thing.
It's scary because some people do follow that. that they do believe that.
But not only that, the state of Georgia doesn't recognize it.
I can believe it.
That's the crazy thing. The state of Georgia does not recognize marital rape as rape. Which is sad, which is really, really sad and scary when you think about it. It's just like, nah, that's not really a thing. It's like, but it is.
But it is a thing. It is a thing.
And, you know, you'd be surprised how many women. So here's my stance on consent. So I do agree with you about making responsible choices and that. And I think that, unfortunately, I feel like too much of an onus is put on women. Because, of course, more often, and this is not, I said more often, not that men aren't being attacked or being victimized, but more often than not, women are the victims of these types of crimes and things like that. But I feel like, unfortunately, there's so much onus put on the woman to, like, okay, don't dress this way, don't do that, don't drink that, don't do this. And I'm just like, why can't y'all just teach y'all boys not to rape people?
That's it. That's it.
How about that? How about you just stop teaching these men, like, however, you are not a savage. You can control yourself.
And I agree with that. But I think we still have to take, the women have to take a little bit of ownership. Now, me.
They do, yes.
Wear whatever the hell you want to wear.
I agree.
I'm going to wear what I want to wear.
I think, and I absolutely think that there should, you should still teach women, okay, you need to do this and be mindful of all those different things.
Right.
But you often don't hear much of a burden put on men. Like, you know what? You probably shouldn't rape her.
You know, and it's so sad.
It's probably not what you should do, or you shouldn't. I feel like, to me, if I was a man, I would kind of be offended by the whole idea of, well, you know, she was wearing this. Because you hear those arguments all the time when it comes down to rape. She was wearing this, she was wearing that. I'm like, you make men seem like they're savages and incapable of cognitive thoughts.
Absolutely.
Right? That I was just like, how many times have men got upset with another man and didn't hit him? If you can control that, why can't you decide, you know what, she doesn't want this. I'm not going to do this. There should be, I think, there needs to be an equal amount of responsibility to say, don't do this.
But the thing is that when the justice system, when bags up the men and their decisions, because I had so many situations where at the sexual assault center, where the police come in or even the nurses there were like, what do you think? And I was like, she said she was raped. She was raped. We're going to take her. We're going to take her specimen. We're going to do what we're supposed to do with it. That's not my story to tell. If she says that this happened, I'm here to collect her story. I'm here to make sure she's okay. I'm here to get her needs while she's here. Call her family. Get her the support she needs. But I had so many police that they, oh, I don't believe the story. Oh, I don't, you know, completely discrediting her or him, and just kind of making them feel like, why should I even report this? That they're less than a person, because it's even if they have this background, even if they are known with the police, I've had people that the police knew, that doesn't mean it didn't happen this time.
Yeah.
So we have to hold them every time that someone says it's happened. We have to at least investigate it. We have to find out, go with the facts, not because they look a certain way or they act a certain way or that they're drunk. Then we say, or whatever, that is that they, oh, they couldn't have been raped. Oh, they wanted it. And
one of the highest incidents of rape is actually among prostitutes with their johns raping them.
Absolutely.
But a lot of, because they are unfortunately viewed as uncredible witnesses. So they're not, you're not credible.
Absolutely.
It's just like, well, you're a prostitute. Like, isn't that what you do? It's like, well, yeah, I didn't want to have sex with him.
Right.
Whether it be because I didn't want to have sex with him or he didn't pay me for
That's it.
It's my job. You didn't pay me for this. So no, I didn't want to do it with you. And you took it.
That's it.
Right. That's so right. There's a variety of things going on there. So I'm glad that we are on the same page with that. That makes me feel a lot better.
The warm in the heart.
There's a little fuzzy. Warm. I felt a little smidget right there going on. So we have that kinship.
Yes.
So I know we'll step away because I know that's a little dark and that's a little bit deep. So we're going to get back into some of the things that are, I guess, I don't know, I want to say it was dark, but interesting is what I'll say when we talk about human sexuality from a clinical point. So what is deemed as abnormal sex from a clinical standpoint? Or is there anything that's deemed as abnormal sex?
I was
going to
say, yeah, I don't think anything
sex.
Is really abnormal. I think everything is fair game. It just depends on who's participating and how they view it.
The DSM says there's some abnormal stuff out there now.
So, like, what did the DSM say?
Inanimate objects.
Well, yeah. But if I'm not in your bedroom with you, how would I know? Unless you show up, you know, with you know, something in, at the emergency room that you that's lodged and you can't dislodge it, then we have problems.
There's that. There's also, so there's there used to be a show, and I don't know if it's still on the air. What was it called? Strange Sex, mm-hmm. Unusual Sex,
something like that.
Something like that. Yeah, it was on either HBO or Stars or one of them. Mm-hmm. And there is it talked about strange
things they use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not even just an anime. So there was one guy, I remember seeing an episode. Yes, I used to watch that. Don't judge me. there was an episode
I peaked too.
That I didn't peek. I watched for a minute. Like, okay, this is fascinating. Okay. So there was one gentleman who was in love with his car.
Yes, I remember that.
And he would have sex mm-hmm. with yes. the car. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, I remember that.
And it was just like, okay, is that deemed abnormal? And how is it? So one of the things where you talk about with the DSM, is it affecting your life in a negative capacity? That's always the big thing, mm-hmm. right? It's just like, okay, you drink, but is it affecting your life to the point where you, is it negatively impacting your life and other areas of your life? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I watched that episode and I was just like, I mean, It's weird.
But and I think he was living at home with his family.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, like, really progressing past, like, those teenage
exactly.
years.
Exactly.
So I think the cognitive issue.
That was the issue.
That was
for
my
me.
Problem.
Like,
you
the
know?
Fact that he's doing it is, I mean.
Yeah. If he was doing it in his own house, in his own garage, I might be okay with that. But the cognitive capacity where that shows a little diminishment because you're still at home, you're not progressing mm-hmm. in your life besides loving this car. Mm-hmm. That's when I had issues with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. There's fetishes out there. They do have that in the DSM. Of course.
They had the episode with the doll. Did you see with the man with the dolls?
Yes.
Yes.
I did see that episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you have people with fetishes who are into food and balloons and yeah. diapers and all of that stuff. Then you have the darker side of it, mm-hmm. you know, that people are aware of, but they only talk, you know, no one really wants to talk about it because they think that it's not necessarily a full-blown thing. So mm-hmm. you have the two major ones that everybody knows about but doesn't really like talking about because mm-hmm. it makes them uncomfortable. You have pedophilia mm-hmm. and then you have bestiality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Both are actually way more common than people want to acknowledge. Mm-hmm. what it is. And I think, and I do want to kind of, I want you to give your stance and your views on this. Unfortunately, when it comes to pedophilia, at mm-hmm. least, it's interesting how the age of child is moved mm-hmm. when it comes to minority girls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So we can talk about it now. So for those of you who don't know, we're recording this in the week that R. Kelly mm-hmm. just got arrested, right? And so, yes, you know, mm-hmm. we got a lot of foolishness going on this Black History Month. But you know what?
Yes,
if he goes to jail, it'll make up for it.
It will. It will.
But the thing is, with that going on, the documentary or docuseries mm-hmm. came mm-hmm. out. I did not watch that. I was deliberate and intentional in not watching it.
So right? I started. I caught the first two episodes. And then my church decided that they want to do a fast. And so I had recorded everything.
Okay.
But I ended up doing
a fast for that?
No, just a fast in general. So you got to decide what you wanted to give up.
Okay.
So it just so happened I was trying to figure out what am I going to give up? What could I really give up in my life, you know, that would really kind of make an impact and make a change? And then it hit me. I was like, television, because my poor husband doesn't sleep at night because I'm a latchkey kid, and you know, okay. So I've been with the TV all my life. I think I had a TV in the womb. And so because of that, so I ended up giving up the TV. So after I saw those first two episodes, I was done. I could not see anymore. I felt myself being triggered, you mm-hmm. know, and what I saw, it was just terrible to see the things that those girls went through. And even to know his background.
How did you feel about the people defending? Because people were defending him. People still are defending him.
I have no love for them. None. And I understand that he had his own issues. Mm-hmm. I get that. And that, you know, allegedly his sister, you know, was sexually assaulting him and his brother. However, he was still an adult when he made those decisions. Mm-hmm. And for you to be an adult, from what I saw on the video, for you to be an adult going back to your high school where you didn't even graduate from, but you go back to your high school in order to vet these young girls, you know, oh, I'm going to do this and do that, you know, where the teacher, his teacher was on there even speaking, saying, why are you still here? You didn't even graduate. Why are you still up at this school with these little girls? Mm-hmm. You know, so that the intention, the negative intention of that was enough that he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. One of the big comments that I kept on seeing up and down. So I didn't watch a docuseries, like I said, but I did carve out time out of my day to remove some of the trash people. Right.
Mm-hmm. I had none on my timeline.
Oh, I had a lot.
I was surprised.
I had a lot. I became a garbage man for a couple hours. Okay. Yes, I did.
Good. Because I had none.
So
thank you, friends.
Not a problem.
Because I had none.
Good for you. Yes. I wasn't fortunate for mm-hmm. that. And so one of the things is the reason why I phrased my original question like that was because so many people were saying, oh, these girls were fast.
No.
And my argument is always this. There is no girl fast enough for a man that don't want to.
That's it.
None. Mm-hmm. No matter how fast you, this 15, 16, however, 13, whatever mm-hmm. age she is, if this man don't want to, mm-hmm. he don't want her.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's nothing that they can do about that. So, unfortunately, and I'm going to bleed into this, and please, the LGBTQI community, please do not get mad at me for saying this. I'm just pointing out that a lot of people there's this propaganda, and I'll say it's propaganda because that's what it is, for people who believe that pedophiles are now trying to petition to be a part of that community. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where this is going, because we're being so accepting of that community mm-hmm. or people within that community, that the next step is to accept pedophiles. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that will happen. There actually is an organization, which is crazy to me, that is trying to have pedophilia removed from the DSM. Now, for those of you who don't know, DSM, I always say, is the therapist Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, I have issues with it myself, but it is the therapist Bible. That's what we use to diagnose people and with disorders or anything like that. And so one of the disorders that's in there is pedophilia. It's mm-hmm. actually, it's not called pedophilia. It's called, I can't remember the name of it, but they didn't break it out as pedophilia. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's under an umbrella mm-hmm. of things. Mm-hmm. And they're actually trying to have it removed.
Mm-hmm. I can believe it.
From there. And do you think that'll ever happen?
I pray to God it doesn't. Amen. I pray to God it doesn't.
Do you think it will?
I hope it doesn't. I mean, they'll try. They've tried different things before in the past. So I can see them trying it. I can see them having a great stance for it. But I hope it never does happen.
Okay.
I don't think we have this community, this nation has enough hopefully immoral character for that. But, you know, because that's scary.
Yeah.
But when you had a governor of Alabama? I think he was the governor.
Yes, he was running for it.
Right. When you had him, you know, openly saying that he, you know, did it or whatever back in the day, and they were still, people were still voting for him. That's what scares me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that people are like, oh, okay, it's okay. He can do that.
Because it happened a long time ago. I remember that.
Yeah, and that was scary for me, you know. And he still had quite a number of votes.
He did.
Quite a number of votes.
He did not lose by a landslide.
Mm-mm. Yeah, because it's not me. You know, we have the Me Too movement, and then we have it, oh, that won't happen to me.
And that's everybody, though.
And that's the thing, is that people have that feeling of, it won't happen to me. So that's when the problem happens to me, I feel like, is that when you think that you're under this guise that it'll never happen to you in your family, in your community, to people you know, that's when the problem starts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we have to kind of wrap up. We are running out of time. And of course, I'm going to bring you back.
Oh, I'd love to come back.
Is there anything that you want to talk about as it relates to human sexuality that you want people to kind of know? If they're going to a therapist, or if they are trying to go to someone in the field, or if they think they might have an issue or not have mm-hmm. an issue or suspect something that's going on, what do you want them to know?
That there is help. That we are here to help them. If they feel like they have an issue, if there's something that they're uncomfortable with, come in, call someone, have a phone consultation. Usually those are free. You know, get to seek the answers that you want to seek and then make the decision. Mm-hmm. If you feel like, you know, your body's changing and things are changing with you and you don't really understand why, don't just go with, I have to be loveless or selfless and I can't have the intimacy that I want. You know that you can have that, but mm-hmm. you may have to put in some work to do so. So if you're willing to do the work, the sex therapists are out here willing to help you.
Awesome. 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 Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
For being here. As I said, as always, I will have you back so that we can continue this conversation. And to everyone out there listening, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Please feel free to leave your comments, concerns, email me, DM, do what you need to do. And always continue to be the best version of yourself. All opinions shared on this podcast are solely that of the participants and do not reflect the views of any governing mental health professional board. The host of this podcast has received written consent to share any and all stories that have been presented.